Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. Glorious summer's evening. Got the sunset just setting over my studio, also known as the car, as we speak, and looking forward to another potty. How about yourself?
Yeah, me too. Just chilling. Keen to get into the potty as well. I think it went well last week. I haven't listened to him in a while. I must admit, I used to listen to them all, and then I stopped, but I made sure I checked out the last one because I was like, I think we got it, the audio sorted, and sounded good to me. I don't know, Joe, did you admire any of your own work?
Yeah, of course. I listened to it through. It was perfect because I had to drive out to Melton the next day for the little summer cup and then drive back, and it was just perfect for that little to and fro commute. Look, one thing I picked up on was because we were talking via Wi-Fi, because I had my own little issues with my phone company, I did sense like a bit of a hesitation between you and me, and I think it was because we're on Wi-Fi, so I'll be seeing if that's addressed today.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I could definitely tell last week already there was slight delays just when we were talking, and now that we're back on the phone, yeah, seems good in here, so normally... Well, not normally, we've done it once, but I think what comes through my headphones is what ends up on the pod, and everything sounded good so far. So, yeah, you're welcome, guys. We're the best.
Yeah, look at us getting look sorted. At us. It's only taken 90 episodes, but we are there.
Yep.
Got there before 100, though, so that's pretty good.
I got the claps there as well.
Yeah, nice work at the clap.
How you been, man? You working yet? I feel like you never work.
No, just living that teacher's dream, mate. Now, look, I have put in a couple of hours this week, but not because I was required to, just because it's the way I roll. But formally back on Tuesday. So, yeah, back in the swing of things. Putting Theo back into daycare this week because I had to go in and do some hours. He's going to daycare again tomorrow, but just free me and Ella up and maybe go see a movie or something.
Oh, look at you go. That's nice.
Yeah. And, back into it Tuesday.
Yeah, fair enough.
How's the pleb life going?
I had that first week back last week, and I think I said I was feeling great, up and about, sleep all sorted, just what a way to be. And then my first week back of basketball, we had a 10-10 game, and that's fucked everything up, and now I hate everyone, and I hate my job, and anything to do with it, so.
Oh, I can't imagine running at 10 past 10 at night, like what the hell?
Yep. Yeah, no, it was, it sucks. So our games are earliest ones at 6 and the latest ones at 10:10, and then four other times or something in between. And, yeah, everyone plays all of them, unfortunately. It's just a dick move by the stadium because they can just put two more teams per league in the comps.
Yeah.
Per division in the comps, and it ends up being, a fortune plus the court fees. And anyway, dick move, but every stadium does it, so it's just like you can't get away from it. Like if one stadium did it, you just wouldn't go there, but they all do. And when that does happen, that ruins my whole week, so I don't like anyone anymore, but that's all right. Early start tonight, so maybe I'll get my sleep back on track, but not if the Demon, or if he's back in action tonight, isn't he?
Demon, he's made it through to the quarters for the first time, I'm hearing, for the Australian Open. He's made it through to the quarters, so up against number one seed Sinner. And look at me, it sounds like I know a lot about tennis. I've watched all of about six matches. six matches. I've watched all of about 6 points.
Yeah, I was going to say, six matches is pretty good.
6 points this entire Australian Open, but I'm ready for tonight.
Yeah, me too. I think I'll have to check it out. I must admit, I've been off it for a while for, I don't really know why. I was real into it in the Federer era. But have sort of slipped off. And then when I saw that the Demon was playing, I was like, what do you mean? And then someone's like, yeah, he's doing really well. I was like, nah, isn't he shit? Turns out he's world number 8.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been out of the game for a little while. So.
Yeah.
That's cool to see. Surely it's been forever since we've had an Australian in the quarterfinals of anything, basically. Let alone Australian Open.
I think so too. You and me are the same. You were into it during the Federer phase. I was more into it during the Roddick phase. I've been out of the game for a little while.
Fair enough. There you go. No good. All right, let's turn our attention to a bit of disc golf, shall we? We talked about a lot of the player updates last pod, but this is big. By far the biggest one. Household name, one of the biggest stars in all of disc golf. And our man, Elijah Bickle, has found his way onto Prodigy. This makes so much sense now. He let the Robinson brothers go to bring in a name like Elijah Bickle.
Yeah. No, it all checks out. Hindsight's 20/20, as they say. Did a little digging and did discover that this is a re-signing. He was with Prodigy last year, but it's got to be a pay rise. Like, let's be honest, they've pushed the Robinsons aside, and they're like, let's invest in this young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what Prodigy's tiers are. A lot of the other brands use their plastic types, so I don't know his 300 tier or I don't know what that means. But he's got to be top dog now, surely.
Yes, 100%. Having a quick look at his PDJ page. Yet to play in 2025. He must live in a wintry state. But I'm ready. I bet he's chomping at the bit. He's there's no upcoming events either on his PDJ page, but I bet he's chomping at the bit.
Yeah, he's saving it all for opening weekend of the Disc Golf Pro Tour. He doesn't want to mess around with any of these shitty little events like the Memorial. Who would go to that? So keep your eyes on that. The new Elijah Bickle. If he gets a disc, I'll have to buy one. But Nick will just have to buy one. So keep an eye out on that. Another thing to keep an eye out for is the Ruffy Rumble. I've done a really shit job of advertising that, but we're going to get that out now. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Not many people have signed up. Chris has not signed up. Sign up, mate. You're away.
To look at the PDJ event page for it.
Calm down.
To see who had signed up. And I run into a bit of a snafu.
There's people. I just haven't uploaded them yet. That's my bad. Sorry. But there's, about 7 on day one and about 11 on day two. Names, though. So get a part of it. The course is sick. I'm super keen to play it. I kind of am hoping it's not going to do very well, because if it's going to be quiet day one, I'll play both days. And I'd be keen for that. But if it's busy day one, I might have to do some spotting like I did last year. But the course is sick. It's basically going to be the exact same one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to have another good crack at the Monster, see if I can get myself Big Juicy 2.
And Big Dog's playing on the Sunday, is that right?
Yep. Same divisions as last year. I was going to split it up a bit, but having a look at it, the way the divisions moved a little bit is, it didn't seem worth it. Plus, it's not looking like it's going to fill now, but MA 40 and 50 I was going to swap, but they ended up being about the same amount of people last year. I considered moving MA 2 as well, but that division has just dwindled into nothing, so I feel like even if it does fill out, MA2 will be small, and then there'll be more people in MA1, and the days will end up pretty even. So, get on it. We're going to have the good club baskets coming out for it. So it's full 18 course. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's $30.
Oh, bugger.
I mean, sign up for both days.
I won't sign up for both, but I'll be looking to make day two for sure.
Yeah,
I was talking to Penn about it today. No, Penn's keen.
Yeah,
I think that'll be outside of the Stony League. That'll obviously be my next event.
Beautiful. Are you hitting up Stony League tomorrow? I saw you were out there practicing today.
Yeah. The plan is to definitely be there tomorrow night. Can hopefully shoot considerably better than what I shot tonight.
Oh, boy.
Look, I was -1 through the front nine. And it didn't get much better than that. I think I finished -3. Still enough to pip Penn by one.
Oh,
it wasn't very favourable conditions. Given that we both scored badly, we can say that it was conditionally based. Yeah, -3 and -2 is not getting it done tomorrow night, that's for sure.
Mm, yeah, you can say that. I'm not going to really believe it because it doesn't seem that bad in my area, but that's fine. You can say it's conditionally based. yeah, not a very good turnout. Well, I think no turnout last week, so end up getting cancelled, I believe. So hopefully a bit of turnout tomorrow. Thursdays are tough for me, so not sure if any I'll make, but we shall see. I'm never not a chance. Let's just say that. Big chance, though, is disc golf in Royal Park. So, hopefully a lot of you remember, but some of you might not have been playing for long enough for that. But we had 9 baskets on tyres, just like they were at Llewellyn. I'm pretty sure they might have gone from Royal to Llewellyn. All at Royal Park in, just north of the city? Right near the zoo. And yeah, it was dope. Like, I remember that being a fun course. Like, I really enjoyed it. I think there was a couple little tournaments we had there. And then we just played I played a few times casually. And I remember it being a good time.
Yeah, great time. And I also remember, I've got very fond memories, Alan. Did you ever play the mixed doubles competition they had there?
I don't think I was able to find a female friend. I'm trying to remember. I feel like maybe I ended up playing with Pat and one of us went left-handed or something. There were some shenanigans. I think I was involved, but I don't think I was actually competing. But I do remember that being, a lot of fun.
At the inaugural event, myself and my sister-in-law took it out. Much to Hannah and Jacob's disgust. They thought they were absolute shoo-ins. They thought they were a bit of an asterisk competitors, given that Hannah had played a little bit and obviously Joker had played a lot. And one of the stipulations was one of the members has to be brand new to the game at this particular inaugural event. Myself and Mona took it out. And I still carry proudly the bag tag that we won from said event, but the layout we used there, or the location of the park we used there, that's where it's rumored to maybe be a chance to go in, in that section of the park, which is a bit slightly different to where we had the temp course.
Nice. Yeah, well, I enjoyed that too. I thought that was a cool course. So
it was.
I think you had, someone put a form that we need to fill out in the group chats, the Melbourne Disc Golf in Melbourne group chats, and then you put in a bit of a cheat sheet that Oscar came up with because it's a bit of a bear of a form. But get that cheat sheet, follow the link. I don't know, lie if you have to. Just make it look like we really, really need some disc golf in Royal Park because we do. We need disc golf courses everywhere, and it's a fun one. So please get on it.
We need disc golf courses next to a tram line. That's what we need, and that's what that served. And because it was next to a tram line, that's how Parked Media discovered the game.
Really? I did not know that little gem.
Ash Wiedner, first ever course played was Royal Park, and Jason Wiedner.
That's cool. That's very, very cool. I was not aware of that. Nice little tidbit there by you.
You're welcome.
All right, we will also touch on the Vic Tour. So we won't go into a great deal of detail with it because we're only one event in. And I can tell you that the big change from this year to last year is that we're going back to divisions. So 2 years ago was the first one and it was division-based, but you had to sign up for it. We ended up choosing the ratings system that we had last season as we, mostly wanted to make it more of an elite type thing so there wasn't 45 different prizes and all that sort of stuff. But the main thing is to get people engaged and from feedback that we got from you listeners and just from other people that we'd seen that it's more engaging when it's you're playing in your chosen division. So it's going to be very much the same scoring system as last year with a certain maximum number of points you can win depending on the tier of the event. And then we drop 5 points off for each additional place. And then It'll probably end up still, we're going to see how many events are going to end up being on the tour, but I still think it'll end up being your best six events will score, and then the winners at the end will end up getting some prizes. So we need to look into that and get that sorted so people know what they're playing for early. I'm going to try to put some work into that coming up. But yeah, that'd be the big news. Not too much to go through because it's all off one event and it's off division. So if you won your division at Golden City Classic, then you are winning the Victoire. If you came third, then you're third in the Victoire. So yeah, Al's triple bogey on hole 17 kind of stuffed him over there a little bit. That's okay. We got more events to play.
Did you get my spreadsheet?
I did. Looks great.
Yeah, I've got. It's not quite what I'm looking for, but I it's a much better start than what I made this time last year. And I think if I can just keep it sussed, I think it's going to be a much easier scoring system for all involved.
Nah, good deal. So we'll get some more information on that as it comes out. But at the moment, it's as divisions, same scoring as last year, and we'll sort out the prize system later on, but there will be a minimum amount of unique players to play in a division over a year before we're going to end up giving a prize out, I think is how we'll end up doing that. But I need to finalize those rules and then we'll get them out so everyone knows. But it's definitely happening. We're on again. It's year three, and I'm guessing maybe because we're going back to divisions, we can just say that Penn's win last year is like inconsequential because it wasn't really a thing. Like I'm still the only person who's ever had an MA1 division win. Is that?
I think so. Yeah. That checks out.
Yeah. I like it. And Ruffy Rumble will be stopped too on the Disc Golf Victoria Tour. So make sure you get signed up to that. Some great points up for grabs.
Beautiful.
All right. We had some Summer Cup action. The last three events of Summer Cup, two of them were on the weekend and one of them is this weekend coming up. First one was the event that you and Penn put together in Melton, aptly named Summer Club - Melton. How did it all shake out, Chris? What was the day like?
Yeah, stunning day. Great turnout. Got about 30 people there, from, 8-year-olds to 68-year-olds, which was awesome to see. It was ripe for the picking. Beautiful conditions. Penn did an awesome job of setting up the course. A few little tweaks here and there, a little bit of lengthening here and there. A temp basket was involved just to get rid of some of the overlap, and that was a really favored hole. And the feedback was hugely positive from all in attendance. And a lot of that feedback has to go straight to Penn. And I've obviously thanked him personally, but I know he listens and he'll hear it again, that he really did do a good job of setting that course up. And it ran really smoothly. And, we were done and done all before 3 p.m., which was awesome. And on the highway back home. Nothing really exciting happened. It was just a standard disc golf event. What about Llewellyn?
Llewellyn was a beautiful day. Nice sunny weather, not much wind, and a super fun course. I really like that course. They made a few tweaks from what was basically the last time we played the full 18 layout there, which full 18 baskets. It's always a good time, and I really like it. And it's something I think they're looking at getting put in. There's talks of putting the tee pads in. So I don't know if that means 9 more baskets are going in. I probably should have looked into that. But that's kind of what I'm thinking, that there's going to be like tee pads for 18 baskets. And I don't know. It's cool. They asked for some feedback. I'm yet to do that. I've got to do that. There's an email about that. But a lot of the holes are fun. They're really cool. I've always really enjoyed playing at that course. So definitely.
Into a robot at your end, or have I turned into a robot at your end?
Everything's sounding right here.
All right. Well, the audio's gone real janky on my end, so I hope this does not correlate to what it sounds like on the podcast. You're borderline can't understand what you're saying. And I've tried unplugging my app, and that does not seem to be helping. So I'm just going to power on and circle back to Melton for a second. Obviously, MA1, shenanigans afoot. Oscar rocked up, went minus 10 round one, which was hot. Two strokes clear of the next hottest round. Penn managed a minus 8. And myself, I managed a minus 8. And Ethan Lewis managed a minus 7. So hot start out of the gate by Oscar. And there was just no stopping the man, because in round two, starting on hole three, he starts birdie, 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 ace, birdie. And he's 100 down through five holes. and ends up finishing 13 down. And yeah, just crazy stuff. Acing hole eight, which is absolutely elite. If you've ever played Melton, it was the standard hole eight, the long par three, 111 meters, sidearm, no skip needed. Just one of the most disgusting aces you'll ever see. Happened right in my face as I was sinking a drop zone putt on hole seven. And I thought that was pretty cool, but just immediately overshadowed by one of the better aces you'll ever hear of. And netted the bloke $291. awesome work, Oscar.
Is that what it got up to? $291. That's super well deserved. That's fucked up. That ace is crazy. Super, super impressed with Oscar. Forehand straight in the chains, right? No skip, no nothing.
Yeah, forehand, slight flexi boy. I imagine he threw like a wraith. I don't know, but yeah, just went straight in, kind of like no chains, just like straight into the dead center of the bottom of the bucket. And then it like skyrocketed up like vertical. And yeah, just stayed in there. Jacob lost his shit. Oscar lost his shit. I didn't see it. I just saw nothing but reactions. And yeah, obviously I had a little cheeky punt in my Throllers guarantee that the ace would go off. And I feel like it's very fitting that it was 7 points for hole eight. If I had said hole eight, you would have given me a,
I would have given you 20. Million. Yeah, like whatever you want. Like no one in that field. Oh, Nath Parrish was there. Nath Parrish is the only one in the field I would think would have any chance of getting a forehand to that basket.
Yeah.
Got to never underestimate Oscar. I'm sure it was a wraith. He just throws those flip up wraiths so good. But
yeah.
But that's fucked up. That's a like Penn keeps track of who birdies that hole.
Yeah.
It's like their Melton Hall of Fame is if you've birdied hole eight, and then Oscar's like, I'll just throw it in real quick.
Penn's commentary today was like, I won't get this verbatim, but it was very good. He was like, look, there's lots of things that happen on the course that's like inspiring, because he was on Penn's card. He's like, that's the opposite. Like, I've now witnessed something that I'll never do anything as good as that in my entire life. So like, what? Am I just done with disc golf now? Like what?
it's fitting. Like I'm trying not to exaggerate here, but it's one of the best aces I can think of that we've had. Like Bald Hills had a lot of aces. Darren acing hole 17 is pretty fucked up. With that, especially being a lefty, like that's probably, he did do that, right? Yeah. We'll go with that.
He did.
That's gotta be right up there as well. But there's not much else I can think of. Like, what stuff around Victoria you've seen? What's the most fucked up hole you've seen ace besides this?
It's absolutely up there for me. I can't off the top of my head, and I've been thinking about it. Think of a better one. It's pretty elite.
Yeah. Nah, super good, super, super impressive, Oscar. And just not just the ace, like he's 10-17 rated. Neg 13, neg 10, front 9. I mean, fucking hell! Like, what do you? That's the course record there forever now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that should piss Penn off the most. He can come and then he could be like seven down through seven and then still just be like, I can't have the best front nine ever here.
No.
Like,
no.
Nah. Amazing. 10 strokes clear of Penn in second place. So, like, jeez. He's not fucking around.
Oh, for the round, 10, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, well, for the date, for the event.
Yeah, yeah, for the event, he got him done by 12.
Did he? Oh, yeah, fuck it, I can't do math. Yep.
Yeah, sorry. He got him by 10 strokes on the round.
Yeah. Crazy. Like.
Oh, yeah, and that was the other thing. I wrote this in my notes, so I better say it, otherwise I'll be an idiot. This 13 under, like, because I went and played it casually yesterday, played the same layout. I was like, oh, I'll have another crack at this. Perfect conditions, played really well, shot a minus 10. And I was like, shit, like, I'm still three shots short of, like, Oscar's actual round. Like, that was so good. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go look at my golden round. My golden round through the two rounds was a minus 12. Like, he's got my golden round beaten just in that one round.
Yeah. It's messed up. It's really, really good. So, yeah. Oscar's sneaky, man. He's got the hot score at Ruffy too, right? Didn't he shoot like 17 down or something there one day?
Yeah, possibly. Something
messed up. Yeah, I think he might have the hot score at the course record. I'm assuming that's course record, neck 13. Oh, it's not, well, because it's not even the normal course.
Oh, it's 100% course record.
But yeah, he's probably got the course record at a couple courses, and he doesn't even play that much. I guess there were other divisions playing on the day.
Yes.
Kerry Edwards had himself a day out as well. So,
yes, he did.
Neg 12 day still, like, that took down everyone but yourself, Nath, and Oscar. That's huge. So, well done for him. Just a million ahead of Brett Bovridge there in even. And then our boy Taron as well, taking out a very big win against Cooper Thompson. He's just putting Cooper to the sword lately. I feel like that's a couple where not many people have shown up, and it's just a Taron versus Cooper battle. So he's done well there. And how did your MPO shake out?
Got the chocolates in the end. Some shenanigans. I'll put this out on the airwaves. Look, none of us played very well, hence why Oscar smashed us. And we went 5, 7, and 8, Parrish, Ethan, and myself, round one. And then round two, Nathan had a good round. Ethan got out of the gates early. Ethan was 4 down through 5, and Ethan was in the lead at that point. Because I was only 1 down at that point, and Parrish was only 2 down. So Ethan took the lead early, then cooled off on hole 7. Unfortunately, with a double bogey on the double Mando hole. But hole 17, I'm up by 2 or 3 at this point, I guess, with 2 to play. And we'd already played the temp basket, and we were the last players to play the temp basket. So TD himself thought, because I was right down the other end of the course, I'm going to pack up this basket and wheel it down towards base as we head into hole 18. Anyway, we got to a backup on hole 17, and I was like, right, I'm going to wheel this basket down. There's a big-ass gum, you might know it, on the left-hand side of the fairway of, like, I guess, hole 8, Oscar's ace hole, but we're playing the longer version of it. I was like, all right, I'm going to go hide the basket behind this tree. So, like, there's a tick card in front of us to tee off, or there might have even been 2 cards in front of us to tee off, so no one hits it. Anyway, finish my story. What do you reckon happens?
I've heard the story. It's made the rounds to me.
Yeah. It gets to our card to turn, and I can't remember where I am in the order. I might have been first. I might have been last. Actually, looking at the scores, I might have been last at tee, because it looks like the other boys both got 16, which is a very good birdie. That's the Mando hole at the back of the course that everyone normally misses, and they both birdied that, so that was awesome. And I proceed to throw a drive, and Taron's card, adamant that my discs hits the basket that I've hit behind this tree. And so we walk up to it, and I was pretty happy with my placement of this basket. And we surveyed the area, and thankfully Jacob walks over, and we're like, confirmed for us, Taryn, like, it went this side of the tree and then hit the basket. He's like, yep, it definitely went that side of the tree. And then Jacob immediately goes, nah, it's fucking impossible. There's no way you can skip this side of the tree and hit the basket with where that basket is. There's no way you've hit that basket. And I was like, sounds like doubt to me. I did not hit that basket. Let's move on.
I don't know if there's much they can do about that anyway. Like, I don't know. That's just part of the course. Yeah. It was there for when they played it too. So, I don't know. You can tell them to get fucked. You're the TD. You're doing some pack-up work. They can eat a dick. Sometimes good things happen to good people. And if one of them ever ran a tournament, maybe some good things happen to them too.
Yeah. Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having all the back.
Exactly.
So, anyway, got the chocolates, got the win by two. Happy to play a 950 event. I didn't really feel like 950 golf, I'll be honest. A couple of players probably performed unders, I don't know. I didn't feel like I played above my rating. And it came out above my rating. So, just one of those ones. I'll happily take it. MA2, only David Wood, like you said, MA2, I've called it on the pod before, it's not a real division, and it's becoming increasingly obvious. FA2, Kim Michelle, an 840 round two, an 840 event, even, very consistent golf, a cool 48 rating points above. So would have been absolutely within the showing of the, rating, above rating competition, as would have Oscar. But there was just no catching one man. Did you see what happened in MA3?
I'm looking at it. It's impressive. your man, Max Tats, just destroying the field.
Yeah.
Neg 9 final round and a hot neg 7 the first round as well. For a 949 event, 85 above his rating. Thank you very much. 6 stroke lead for Max Tats.
Yeah. Matthew Harris has had an absolute day out and has lost by 6 strokes. I do feel for the man. Glenn Rolston also played considerably above his rating. Matt Daniels, the entire field has played considerably above their rating. Maybe even Jason Weednut. No, not Jason Weednut. Has not played considerably above his rating. But Max Tats has had an absolute day out.
Sick. Love to see that.
Yeah.
Another thing we love to see is Ash Brooker's getting a win in MA4. Is that back? Oh, no, he got second place at Ballarat, but he's up and about. So, in his hometown, feeling comfortable. Devastated at the Baltimore Ravens, though, on Monday. Just a horrendous, horrendous way to go out. Yeah, tough to watch. So, I feel bad for me. Feel bad for Ash. Yeah, no good.
In MA4, that last name ringing a bell to you?
MA4. Oh, yeah, I did see this in our chat. Yes. When you put in the chat to just Joel and Hardy for some reason, but that's fine, whether they knew an old player named Kiwi. And I had vague memories of a name that came up, Kiwi Cunningham. And I was like, am I getting that confused? Because there was another dude, I think, from Kiwi from... they called him Kiwi from Tassie. So I was like, I wasn't tagged. I'll just stay out of this one. And then Hardy comes up with Kiwi Cunningham. And you've mentioned that he's back because his son is playing.
Yes.
So that's really cool news. I'm sure he'd have fond memories of my old man. Those old men stick together. So I reckon Kiwi and Jeff would hit it off really well. And I'm sure Jeff would be delighted to know he's back. But what's Jack's deal?
Jack played well. I got to play the first round with Nathan Parrish and just was like hunting for tips and took every tip on board and just got like better and better throughout the round. And it's just an absolute legend of a kid, apparently. I haven't had the pleasure, obviously, playing with Jack yet, but met Kiwi briefly because Kiwi was just there spectating. And Kiwi's a jet. Kiwi, I can't wait to have Kiwi back on the scene. Me and Penn played round one together. He's just this like big Kiwi bloke sitting off to the side, watching us shoot down the fairway a hole 8. I do a pretty good drive to like 12 meters. Penn does a great drive to 8 meters. I jag the putt, and Cunningham just gets around me. Kiwi just off in the bleachers, like up and about. Celebrating my birdie. I'm like, oh, who's this guy? I'm all about this. Penn, unfortunately, misses his putt. He's sitting on that bench right near nine's tee pad. We walk up to get ready to tee off on hole nine, and he's like confirms that mine was a birdie. I was like, yep. I was like, oh, what's the deal? He's like, oh, I'm Jack's dad. I'm like, okay, g'day, g'day. And he just turns straight to Penn and just goes, you fucked that, didn't you?
Yes. That's great.
I was like, I'm about this bloke. We need more. We need more Kiwi in my life.
Nice. No, that's very good. I keep forgetting. I'll have to call the old man after this and let him know. I bet you he remembers him more than I do. So that's cool. I hope we see more of him.
Yeah, we will. I shared a couple of emails with him since. I found out crazily that Oscar's, because this Kiwi existed when I was living in the UK, so I've never met this guy, but. Oscar's first ever PDGA event was on and with Kiwi Cunningham on his on his card.
Sick.
And so I had a couple of emails with Kiwi afterwards. I said, by the way, Ace Man, you would have obviously seen and witnessed the Ace. His first ever tournament was with you, and he thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, nice.
And he let me know that he's got a knee surgery booked in, and he looks to be throwing later in 2025.
Sick. That's cool.
Yeah.
Really cool to see. All right, we'll have a look at the scores for Llewellyn Park. We had, 20-odd, 30-odd players show up. Not too bad, but I fully expected there to be more. It's just so rare that you get to play 18 baskets in Melbourne. Like, crazy. But in MA4, Wayne Hood was just had no business there. He murdered everybody else. 13 strokes ahead of Ross Davies. Just, absolute torturing. Very hot final round, and just absolutely killed him. So well done there, Wayne. MA3, because your boy Max Tats, could he do the double? The unheard of double?
He had a crack, and he played another event above 900. So, Max, let's look out. Like, we saw, what did we see from Farina? We saw, like, a minus 23
something, yeah.
Or something. Can Max pull the opposite? Because he's just had a January that's unheard of. But he was shy of Levi Norton, who played 76 rating points above his rating for the event with a minus 7 final round, minus 9 day, fire.
Yeah, really, really good. Gets an eagle in there as well on hole 15 for round 2 for Levi. Really, really nice. In MA50, an absolute smoke show here. The round 1 leader with a bullet, Mike van der Linden, shoots a 982 rated neg 9. The best anyone else could muster up was a minus 6. And the man was completely unaware. We come up to him after the round and everyone's like, mate, you killed it. He's like, oh, did I? Like, what did I shoot? Like, he didn't even know. I was crazy. Like, oh, you didn't realize that one said you got 5 birdies in a row? Like, what are you doing, mate? he says, nah, I was just trying to show the people where, like, you know, these people hadn't played the course. I was just trying to show them where to throw. And everyone on the card was like, oh, we knew. Like, we knew you were a million under. Nowhere near as good round 2, but the work was done. Round 2 still well above his rating. So, neg 11 beats Doug Adams by 10 strokes. Huge.
Yeah. He's a shark in the water when he plays Mike. He's an absolute shark.
Mm-hmm. And there's just, it's like there's a lot of birdies to be had there. But it's, you know, it's like Planet Stone. It's like Planet Melton. There's a lot of birdies there, but, no, you got to get them.
Got to get them.
You got to get them.
Did Taron pull off the double in MA40?
Nah, it was a one-man band, Cooper Thompson. So he takes it out on his lonesome. So well done there, Coop.
Bad luck, Taron. Do we put that down as his first loss for the year?
Yeah, sure. Why not? and then we only had 2 players in the MA1 and 2 players in MA2. Stoyer got out of the blocks, not how he would have liked, with a neg 1. But myself, Parrish, and Aiden all finished round 1 with a neg 6, which we all thought was not too bad. I was playing pretty well. I was quite happy with how I was doing. I took a silly double on a birdie hole. But other than that, I was, I was like, all right, next six is fine. The other boys too, mostly happy. Aiden probably a little disappointed that he wasn't out in the lead. And then we were the lead card for round two. We all just got put together, and that's where it all ended for them boys. it was game over pretty quickly. The whole one is stupidly long. No one was getting well. Nate Parrish actually got some couple monster forehands up into like circle's edge, but no one else was getting anywhere near it. And after that, I just decided I didn't want to get pars anymore. So quick turkey, a par, and then what's it? 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 birds in a row for myself. Thank you very much.
Crazy.
Yeah, I was just up and about. Like, they're all there, but you got to throw them. And I was just throwing really well. I hit a few nice putts. It was a nice day out. I can say that.
Yeah, 10-11. It checks out. As a nice day out.
Yeah, and it could have been like, oh man, it could have been even crazier. So, like, hole 15 was that wall of trees hole. Like, next to the oval, you're just throwing sort of directly at a wall of trees. If you're very lucky, you can do like an S turn to the right and come around.
Yeah.
They pushed the basket back a little bit and just called it a par four. And I just let go a little early. I just misjudged the wind. So it didn't flip upright and end up in the wall of trees and whatever, took a bad par. Hole 16 was a new hole and I missed like a circle's edge putt, hit the cage. Hole 17, little early release, ended up at 12 meters, hit the cage for another putt for a par. And then hole 18, they had a really stupid OB river just short of the basket. So you sort of unleash something over or out of bounds on your drive. And then you got a putter upshot into, like, the green's 20 meters wide, but 5 meters deep. And, yeah, my game plan was to throw the putter, hopefully out the basket, and if it goes long, I'm going to tap in par. But I ended up shortening it a little bit going into that OB river and taking a, had to earn the putt for a par. But, yeah, 2 cage hits and out of bounds for 3 of the last 4 pars. Like, oof, what could have been. But yeah, it's the best round of disc golf I've played in a very long time, and my highest rated round.
Have you ever had 1,000 before?
One of my rounds at Tassie Nationals was 1,000 and something, even with a bogey on hole 18. But this is the highest, I'm pretty sure. I think there was only like 1,008 or something.
Nice. Yeah, I think Oscar never had 1,000 before.
Yeah, now he's 2013 or something. It was huge.
17.
Jesus. Yeah, what a weekend for them boys.
Yeah.
So that was pretty demoralizing for the rest of the field. Nate Parrish was actually having a pretty. He was having a really hot round till a couple sort of late birdies. Like, we got through 10 holes, even through like the 12 holes, and 2, 4, 6, he was 8 down and I was smoking him. he's like, this is bullshit. So I owed him though. He's beat me like 100 tournaments. Like, it's been a lot of tournaments in a row. We used to flip-flop a lot. And I finally got one back on him. And Aiden, I don't know, just was a little bit off. Got a nice eagle, but a couple of bogues and just a lot of pars. So, fun card with those boys though. Stoyer had a much better second round, but yeah, smoked them all. So it's only a 2-person little shop as a win for 2 people, but I'm going to claim it because I also beat everyone else who played. So
that's a W in my book.
Exactly. And I think my thrower's guarantee was that I would take Sam Stoyer head-to-head, and I did, so that's 5 points coming my way. Thank you very much. So after week one, we've done pretty good, and you've taken the lead 7-5. So we'll have to see where we go with that.
Immediately on the board.
Immediately on the board, not bad. We had some lean weeks in there. For sure, last year, so hopefully. I'll give a big shout out. Nate Parrish came in pretty good with the memes. So he sent me something. It was just images, and then I ended up putting it together of a meme, but it was my round, Dave Perry's round at the Cataraction. And then, you know, these two pictures are the same. And I know it's only a Summer Cup and Dave won a real tournament, but I was, wasn't going to stop me from running with it. And then Nath quickly realized that he lost to both you and me in the same weekend. So he put together a little big red car, like rolling over the top of him with you and myself in it. It's very, very good by him. So,
quality.
And then, a bunch of people hit me up to let me know that I'm the best disc golfer in the whole world. So I appreciate everyone who reached out. I guess when you're shit and you play one really good round, people are like, whoa, who's this guy?
Yeah.
A bit of fun. All right, we'll quick go through the Cataraction because it looked like a pretty hot event. We won't talk too much about some of the other divisions because they don't have people we care about in it, but in MA3, probably not for much longer. This could be a big problem for Parked Media because if Ash Wiedner has to start playing MA2 and that starts creeping into the filming time for the pros, like, this could fuck some shit up. But 6 strokes clear of second place, Ash Wiedner destroys the field, gets himself another W.
Bang.
Bang.
What a January he's piecing together. It reads pretty nicely, his PDGA page at the moment, with a second, and a first for 2025.
Turbo Herbo actually had the lead after round one with a +8, but then, put in a +14 round two, and Ash went the other way. Gets the +3 round two and steamrolls everyone. So big time there, Ash and Kyle. You can stay in MO3. That's fine. You can do the filming.
MPO, David Perry gets it done, and again, you know, manages to play above his rating. So, awesome stuff there from David Perry. But what I want to circle to here is the projected payout. So, obviously, we've got a $1,500 minimum for majors, and this particular little event has paid out for MPO alone. $2,900, sitting at a cool 287% of entry fees. In FPO, they're looking to pay out at 206%. In MP40, they're looking to pay out at 216%. And then it looks pretty good in the AMS as well. So hats off to the people, to obviously Wiz, and the people at Tyre Power, and you know that's how he got the draw card, and that's how he got people to come, and he's true to his word, and yeah, it looks like David Perry's going to take home $810 for that little victory.
Not bad for a weekend there, Dave.
Yeah.
Just separating himself. Some people played some good rounds, but he's just better. So he played. How he plays, he's a very consistent disc golfer, Dave. The his standard deviation must be pretty zero. Intense. Yeah. Because they all just end up being, like, right on his rating within a couple.
Yeah, well, this is what he's building now, right? So, he can actually afford, like, he'll do something dumb. Like, he could have, like, a 970 not get counted.
Insane.
Like, yeah, now that he's paid a bunch of 10-10s in a row, like, yeah, his standard deviation will be so small. Someone like Aiden or another listener might have a chance to do that maths. But, yeah, he must have the tiniest of standard deviations in the next update, I reckon. How good was the Wiz at predicting the round rating?
I know. I loved your bit of work there. I did notice that when I had a look at what par ended up being. What did it come out to in the end? +1... that's round one. I gotta look at round one. +1 in round one was 986. And I think par ended up working out to be like 995 or something. Or 994. And he predicted what, like a 960?
Yeah, he said 950 to 960. He messaged me. He said, oh, I said in calm conditions.
He did.
And I was like, oh, cool. So, like, it was an 8-stroke wing. And he was like, no, it probably wasn't an 8-stroke wing.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, the course is playing hard, which is very interesting. So, I did say to you that I don't know exactly what they're doing with the New South Wales Open this year, but hopefully they'll make it at this course, and I might have to find my way over there. So, yeah, very cool. And, yeah, just another big shout-out to Reese. We give MPO players, and rightfully so, a lot of shit for complaining about events but not running any events. And yes. Reese has put his money where his mouth is. He's ran an event, and he's a pro who wants pro events to have high payouts, and that's what he made happen. So, yeah, well done to Reese, and more MPO players should follow in his lead. Seems like a really dope, hard course that they like to play, and big payout. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, well done, Reese. Good stuff.
All right, we'll have a quick touch in on the Tour Down Under, because we had some Aussies in action there. In MPO, though, we'll have a quick look at that. Aiden Scott sends up railing everyone. 6 strokes clear of Ezra Robinson and Braden Sides. Is that 2 second places in a row there for Ezra Robinson?
Potentially, yes. One in a playoff and then this one.
He's really leaning into Never Wins reputation, which is not ideal. So hopefully he can shake a bit of that. And AK47 Alex was there in 15th place. Didn't see how the round ratings ended up. But, yeah, he played above his average. So, I don't know. It's tough. Thick field. He only got beaten by 2 or 3 people that aren't touring pros. So, you know, you say 15th, but when you take them out, he's sort of in 30-ish, I would imagine. So, well done, I would say, for him.
Yes.
I hope he keeps his head up. My boy Jack Maffey, he climbed up a little bit too. So, look at him go.
Go, Jack.
Look at Jack. Who are the Aussies, the other Aussies that we had in action?
So, in MA40, young local Melburnian Tim Ware goes down in a playoff. So solid shooting by him. Was up and about all weekend, in the mix all weekend, but unfortunately gave up 3 strokes in the final round to Leon, and then got lost in the first playoff hole. But still, a second place is a huge result. The Tim, well done. I'm sure he's stoked. And in MA1, we had a sneaky Don Carter. God, he plays some sneaky events.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. So how he finds himself abroad all the time, it does escape me sometimes. And I'm not seeing Mark on the list anywhere. But yeah, not the event he was looking for. Let's have a quick look at round ratings. In 21st, he's played probably sub 900 golf for the weekend. So below his rating. 21st in MA1.
Kev Costa popped over as well in MP50, and he had a very good event for him, but not enough to handle a pretty stacked MP50 field, I must admit. I think that's all the ones I can see off the top of my head. So we'll have to keep an eye on whatever the next one is. There's got to be another one next week, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I imagine, Nationals mustn't be far around the corner. But actually, to New Zealand Disc Golf present, to New Zealand Disc Golf Open. It's the NZ Open next, this weekend, Saturday 25th.
Beautiful.
Right, so there'll be a few Aussies in that, for sure.
I'm having a quick look now. It looks like in MPO, it's still just AK.
Okay.
So, not sure. I'd have to have a look. We'll have a good look through the rest of the field to see if there's any other notable names in there, and we'll check in on them.
I don't know what division he's playing, but I swear I saw that junior. Is it Joe Paul?
Oh, yeah.
I swear he was making it over. But maybe it's in a different weekend or something. I don't know.
Could be for nationals instead of the open.
Yep. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that for next week. Still loads of the touring pros in there. So cool to see. I'll have to try to catch up on some of the footage from last week. I did not get to see any of it, unfortunately.
Yep.
Do we have any stuff for Brawler's Guarantee?
I don't necessarily. We could have a cheeky look at, is it Bicentennial?
Bicentennial. Yeah.
That's our only option.
I hadn't looked at that yet. I haven't ruled out myself showing up, but I don't plan on it as of yet. But we'll see who's playing. Might sway me. Not much. Not much happening there. We might have gone one weekend too many. Oh, no, the MA50 feels thick, so
yeah,
they'll get around that. Is there anything you love there, or should we just table it for another week?
I reckon table it.
Yeah. Nah, fair enough. That's all good. What do you think Ryan DeRoss's take the win over Mikey Hare? How many strokes? Not for the dollars guarantee, just for funsies.
For funsies? Look, he's got him covered by 5 strokes in the ratings, 4 to 5 strokes in the ratings. Mikey's been thrown clean. I'm going to draw a line for you, and you can go over or under.
Ooh, I like it.
But yep. I'm going to back in a good event here for Mikey. He's been thrown good, and I'm actually going to give him a line of, for a 2-round event, a line of 4.5.
4.5? Yeah, yeah. I got Brian Deere covering that easy. So
yeah, okay.
We'll put you're currently 2 points ahead. We can put, maybe you'll change the line now, but we'll put two points on it.
I've drawn a very favorable.
Nah, okay. I said no throws going to. Nah, that's fine. I should have said that. Nah, all good. I'm taking Deer to cover, and you're taking Mikey to upset. I like it.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Tommy Jankar can make it 3 from 3. So that'll be interesting. Maybe I'll roll up just to fuck with him.
Tassie Open sneaking up on us. Remember $1,500 pro purse. You're sneaking over for that?
If only 4 people are in the pro field, then maybe will be worth my while.
Yeah.
No, I did plan on dialing back my disc golf trips this year. Anything that I had to fly to was probably going to get ruled out. So Tassie was not on my list this year, and it seems like it's not on anyone's list, which is disappointing. Touched on it last week. They had 10 players. They're up to 13 now. I don't even know. Like, no, there's not even many local Tassies playing.
Nah.
So, Tim Bowen, Jade Brady, Liam Brundelli, Rondex, and Daniel Small, the only MPOs making it over. And your number of 1,500, what's made you trigger that?
The ADG obviously came in, and we spoke about this a couple of potties ago and said that they're going to set a minimum payout for majors. And I made the comment on our pod that, like, it's a bit redundant because, like, you're never going to have, like, less than 6 people sign up for a major. And here we go. Humble pie, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know. We did have a bit of a chat about that pre-pod, and I'd have to imagine that they're trying to reach out for a waiver or something. Surely the ADG is not going to hold them to that if no one shows up. But you did sort of mention that the players might be within their rights to be like, hey, you said, like, that's why I'm flying here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Very, very interesting. We'll see how it unfolds. Keep a close eye on that Tassie Open. I don't even see, like,
Matt Green?
Yeah, I don't see Matt Green. Like John Schlobaum.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on his name. The man whose property it's at. So, I don't know. Hopefully there's just some shenanigans here. But it's not looking good at the moment.
Yeah.
Should we finish it with a bit of spotlight, not light, or you got anything else?
No, I'm ready to fire with some spotlight, not lights.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, let's start with my spots. Honourable mention, has to go. You alluded to a bit of Nathan's work before, but just listener contributions. That's my honourable mention. Nathan's big red car was awesome, but I also thought Aiden's let's remove the Lou from Llewellyn and let's call it Alan Park.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good as well. So thank you for the listener contributions. Keep them coming. And like sometimes we get sent stuff and it doesn't make through our socials. Just know that, that's just me saying that was shit. Make it funnier. so make some funny stuff and it'll go out there. So please, well done, Aiden and Nathan. That was some of your best work. But my actual spotlight has to go to none other than Miss Mia Daniels, who played at Melton on the weekend. Obviously, daughter of Kim, six-year-old. Kim sort of hit me up earlier in the week saying, look, she really wants to play. Can we just play on the same card? My parents will be there. Her grandparents, if she needs to tap out, she can tap out. I don't think she has 36 holes in her, but she's adamant she wants to play 36 holes. She's like, I don't know if she'll play 18. Anyway, she survives the first 18. I was like, cool, Kim. Like, do you want me to pull her from round two? I can pull her now when I was getting the cards ready. She's like, nah, leave her in. I think she's going to have a crack. And sure enough, not only did she have another crack, she then went better than her round one in round two by another three or four strokes, I think. And just was just energy all day, nothing but positive feedback from her card mates, and was enough to get a spot prize from myself. I had a couple of Creaky Blinder hats to give away. Mia earned herself one of them for being an absolute jet all day, and just huge to see a six-year-old put in 36 holes. Great work, Mia.
Sick. Nah, that's really cool. Love that by you. Mine is a bit of a spotlight and not light all rolled into one. The ADG has announced their awards, their end of season awards. And
oh, have they?
Yeah, exactly. the tournament director, mentor of the year is Chris Cohout. Volunteer of the year is Kev and Sharon Costa. And tournament director of the year is Michelle Schultz. So they all get a very worthy spotlight. Spotlights!
Yes.
But I think the ADG has to cop a bit of a not light, I think. I don't know, just a bit.
Hang on, I've got an audio button for that. Give me 1 second. Not light!
Excellent. I don't know, just a bit of, I don't know what I'm expecting from them, but it just seems unders, and just give away more awards. We had like 50.
Then about. Is that it? We're at the end of the list.
That's it. That's all. That's all. That's the end of your awards. That's the ADG Tour awards. Yeah, 21st of January. We're past that. So yeah, that's it. Like it's like there's not even the list of the winners of the divisions. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do. It sounds like a volunteer harder situation for me.
Yeah, exactly. So, so a bit of a spotlight, not light rolled into one. I still got a not light though, but what's your not light?
Look, mine's timely. As the social days are around the corner and I guess the Melbourne season is about to kick off again for 2025, I've probably aired this on the waves before, but I need to say it again, and I need this to fuel the fire amongst us. But my not light is the tag scene in Melbourne.
Mm.
Yeah, I need tags to be a thing. I need people to care about tags. I want to play for tags. I want to compare shit sizes for tags. I want tags up for grabs all the time. And I desperately want a bit of all-in tag action at Social Days to come back. But just the tag scene in general in Melbourne, it's just not where it should be.
Yeah. Nah, that's true. Even I've basically given up on it. I don't even have a tag anymore. Yep. Like, don't display it. Never look for it. And I loved it. I love tags. It's the best. I don't know. We might have to come up with our own Thrallers tags or something. Get them out there.
Yes, true that.
Figure something out, because I don't think the club has like any interest in doing them this year. Yeah. Or maybe I'm offbeat. They normally give them out at the first social day, but I feel like I remember hearing that it was sort of dead in the water. But nah, tags are dope. I love tags. Need to get involved. So good not light by you. Before I do my not light, I just like obviously the biggest spotlight of the whole week was Oscar's ace. He's round, but he's ace more than anything else. So
yes.
Just wanted to reiterate that, of course. But my not light, and I don't even know if I'm directing at this. Maybe it gets directed at us. I don't know. But when I was having lunch with Nate Parrish, he said something about his tipping for the cataraction. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize you got in our tipping comp. I missed that. And he's like, picking the three players or whatever. And I was like, nah, man, it's six. And he's like, oh, it's a different one then. I'm like, what do you mean?
What is he talking about?
What is exactly my reaction? turns out Adam Rigby has got his own tipping comp where they pick like three players. And their three combined rating just has to be under something. And then it's just their combined score. Timmy Bowen's in it, of course. And Zach. And I think that's the only people that overlap between ours. But like, how have we never heard of this? Like, yeah. we try to put all the side games out there for everyone. And no one was once thought to be like, oh, what if Chris and Al might be interested in being in this?
Are they playing for cash?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, what is this?
That's what I'm saying.
Creepy.
Right?
Shit. Hook a brother up.
So I don't know. I'm mad at the situation, but I don't know where to direct the not like. Like I don't know. I don't know Rigby, but like yeah. Tim Bowen's in it. Nate's in it. Like people we know are in it. Like yeah. How is it? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm mad at us for people not knowing enough that we want to be in every game. Or if I'm mad at Rigby, or if I'm mad at the people in the thing for not finding us. Or if I just should let other people have games and I don't have to be part of everything. I don't know. I don't know, Chris. But it's a not light and I'm frustrated.
Nah, I feel it. I hear it. I respect it. I'm confused.
I'm so confused. He was so casual with it. He's like, yeah, I'm a tipping cop. I'm like, nah, I don't think you're in that. Shit. Oh, anyway, all right, that wraps us up for another week. Back at it next week, and hopefully we'll have a bit to talk about. Social days are going to be starting up soon, right?
Surely, they're around the corner, I think.
Yeah, cool. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.